The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Holy One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has remembered his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth.
Amen.
That's what I usually say when I have a little extra blessing of pickled okra in my mouth. It's those little times when we have the opportunity to share something that's homegrown, homemade, something where we can say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You don't need to tell me that twice. See, every time I go to a farmer's market and I see those non-commercialized jars filled to the brim with pickles, I am reminded of how God's mercy has appeared to me in my life. As hands dropping seeds caked with dirt, fingers skillfully snipping off excess growth, eyes scanning to see if there is anything ripe for the harvest. Yes, the praise of God and the fruits of the earth shall ever be in my mouth. See, I come from a family of farmers. We grew corn and sorghum. But you know, I never quite understood that what I had eaten was God's mercy until I moved to a city in the middle of nowhere, Texas, called Nordheim, a town with a big heart, had an even larger memory of what gardens cause to spring up, rather farms. The soil carried the memories of that plant which we know, whose fibers are gleaned with the gin and have been historically harvested by the toil of black and brown bodies. Cotton King. Now, when I moved to Nordheim, I arrived at a time when the city was in flux. Mind you, a city of 700 down to 300 people. Cotton was only a faint memory, something that was sown and grown in the memories of generations past. The newer generation only knew of four real things: raising hogs, fracking, front lawn gardening, or leaving for good. You were to ask, how does one encounter God's goodness now? I would say you can see it in those pickled okras. If okra could talk, they could tell you a story of hopes lost and regained. How the older generation carried on the scars of mercy on their calloused hands. The seal of the pickles told of sandwiches and the sharing of the least of these. Just the right amount of dill and peppers in the pickles showed a passing on of family secrets to weather any kind of financial storm. If we can only take the time to think about those little labors of love in our lives, I think then we can only begin to understand what it means for us to live in a spiritual home, to see the shape of this home. See, since June, I have been talking to you really more about the aspirational aspects of our spiritual home, where a home is a place where all people have a space here, Our home is a place where you can express to God everything that's on your heart. And yet, this doesn't take away the fact that we are surrounded by and live in this complex material world. Every aspect of our lives is marred by this, and yet carries a seed of God's presence. Be it your dining tables or the gym and exercising habits, office spaces, hobbies, the streets we walk or we don't walk, our spiritual home is to be found precisely in these habits of everyday life. Isaiah wants his newly returned exiles to perceive God's everlasting covenant with them in these habits of everyday life. Several verses prior to our lesson today, Isaiah describes how the word of the Anointed One really appears for them. It goes like this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim Jubilee, which is the cancellation of all debts, to comfort all who mourn, to raise up, to build up ancient ruins, and to repair the ruined cities." A spiritual home or spirituality isn't a concept per se. It's an action. It is an action first done to us, right? The Spirit is poured out first on the Anointed One, on all of us in our baptism. And then action is done through us. The Spirit working through us to in every aspect of our lives, building us up into a spiritual home. That means how we shop for groceries and where we shop for groceries. What we do with our downtime, if we have any downtime. Our weekly cycle of school, and thank God it's Fridays. All of these habits and more. Or in the language of today's text, God has clothed us with all that we need in our lives. And then God develops within our daily lives an awareness that here is our home. It is a home that is built up in your bodies, that carries stories, that are endowed with treasures, old and new, memories of blessings and losses. Who needs to hear those stories? Who wants to have their stories heard? What stories do we need to hear about God's mercy for the least and the lowly? Listen to Mary. Mary sings the sigh of oppressed peoples everywhere, their lives limited and crushed by the cogs of money made and might imposed. When I listen to Mary's song, I wonder with Howard Thurman, the masses of men live with their backs constantly against the wall. They are the poor, the disinherited, and the dispossessed. What does our religion say to them? How is this spiritual home different from every other spiritual home that claims to have a say in the life of the disinherited? Or said in another way, how are we seen? How does our collective life in this spiritual home ring in harmony with Mary when she says, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things, remembering God's mercy for Israel and for all? I want to give you an example. An example from right here that shows us the kind of habit our spiritual home is made of. There's this, if you look in your bulletin, it's a program called the Fresh Start Backpacks Initiative. Fresh Start Backpacks. It's on page 31 of your bulletin. Peter Bryant, Peter, if you don't mind, could you please stand up? Peter's right there. Peter is working on finishing his Eagle Scout project. And this is his final step to basically becoming an Eagle Scout. What he has done is to start a project where he wants to collect about 300 backpacks for children associated with the St. James Family Life Center. St. James Family Life Center deals with children who are of immigrant and low-income statuses. You can be a part of this habit. I recommend you going on page 31, finding out ways where you can perhaps join your habit with his habit here, and bring a token of God's blessing to this place on August 20th or September 10th. That is our spiritual home. And if you need a list of what you can bring, it's in the narthex. It's wonderful, right here. Think about the hopes and dreams that those backpacks will carry into and away from the classroom. See, I'm not surprised, siblings, that after Elizabeth blesses Mary for believing God's word about her pregnancy, Mary composes a song about the God who works in the daily lives of the disinherited. Think about it. Mary carried the Son of God to term. Someone who was part of the poor and the oppressed. She didn't have a car to drive in. When she came and she offered the ransom for her son in the temple, she gave the poorest offering possible, 2 turtle doves. Mary is the poor and the oppressed. And yet, think about it. In her habits, she found God. She experienced odd cravings, morning sickness, water breaking, birth pains, and yet here was God to be found. The God with us, Jesucristo, Jesus Christ. And if you want me to talk about, or you ask me, what is our spiritual home, I would say first look to the God with us and in us, in the life of Mary. Then you'll begin to see that not only her body, but our bodies and habits carry the seeds of divine presence and hope. God makes of these habits, our individual and collective habits, a spiritual home. And certainly I'll be counting all the seeds and the blessings and enjoying the remaining okra. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are we who have a spiritual home in God. Amen.